So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribes.
Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F-35A.
Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview.
It was called the Legislative Council Committee on Property Tax Assessment Practices, but it was really called and spent five meetings between August and January talking about the issue of dark stores. Dark store controversy has been around a few years. So I'm thankful to the chair, the co-chairs of that Legislative Council Study Committee for coming in to update us on that issue. Senator Luther Olson is from Ripon. He's a Republican representing the 14th District. Republican Representative Scott Allen is from Waukesha, represents the 97th Assembly District. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Our pleasure.
You, very contentious issue. So there was a dark store bill that passed the Assembly, didn't clear the Senate last session. Do I have this right?
Correct.
And so there was alleged council study committee made up of experts and...
legislators.
That's a term us, that includes
us
you.
Us non-experts on this situation.
And you had five meetings. We, Wisconsin and I, of course, covered them all. There was some frank exchanges, some pretty sharp back and forth. So... where are we now? What did you learn about the dark store practices from the Ledge Council Study Committee that will help you move forward? I don't care who goes first.
Well, I think one of the things that was really pretty amazing about this Ledge Council study is this is how Ledge Councils are supposed to work.
Yep.
When we walked in there, we did not know the answer. And you're right. Most people said they'll never come up with an answer because it's too contentious. But
some people are still saying that, Senator. Excuse
me. Well, yeah, well, we think we
heard that just last week. Excuse me.
Yeah, and so we listened to folks, and we had the two probably the biggest experts on that issue, a lawyer for the businesses and the lawyer for the municipalities, and they forgot more than we'll
That's
ever
Don
know
Millis
about.
And who else?
Amy.
Seibel.
Thank you.
Yeah, and they're very good. And they go against each other all the time. So they really knew the subject thoroughly. And so when we listened to them, we said, it just all of a sudden dawned us that there's some things we need to do to make this system work. And we were able to get good support on both sides of the aisle and the other local units of government folks to support it.
Now, you mentioned we had five meetings.
Yeah.
They were fairly long meetings.
Oh, yeah.
There was
knows that.
Quite a bit
We've
of,
got a few archives.
There was quite a bit of research and homework that we would do before each meeting. So I would say that we pretty well exhausted the subject, covering it from the local assessor's point of view, from a retailer's point of view, from the commerce point of view, from the municipality's point of view. We had all the players at the table. So those that would suggest that we haven't come up with the answer are merely suggesting that, in my opinion, because it's not the answer that they want.
Let's give the history here. The Walgreens case on Capitol Square was Madison decided in 2008, Capitol Square in Madison, and it held that an assessment of, in this case, the Walgreens store could be based on it what it paid in rent. Is that a fair summary, Representative?
Roughly.
Basically?
Yeah.
Instead of what the city assessor had assessed it at, correctly? And this led to many other retailers, and now I hear about other banks and restaurants and others trying to use the same legal argument based on the Walgreens precedent. Is that too simplistic a summary,
Senator? One of the things,
though,
is they said the rent didn't reflect the value of the property because
Thank
the
you.
Rent was too high because it was triple net lease and it was, it was a special lease. Mm-hmm. And so Walgreens said, we're paying a high rent for this property, but the rent we're paying is more than the value of the building. And so that's where this all got out of whack.
Right. Are you hearing from communities in your districts about that this is a fairly significant problem, Representative?
Well, so the problems exist when we don't fully understand the nature of the situation. We discovered over five meetings, a fairly complex issue. If it was cut and dry, we'd be done in one or two meetings. Mm-hmm. It's not cut and dry. So we had to dive deep to gain a full understanding of the situation from all parties involved. Wisconsin has a uniformity clause in its constitution, which requires that all property owners be treated fairly and equitably in the property tax assessing situation, which means regardless of the property type, you have the ability as a property owner who's being taxed, you have the ability to appeal that and say, wait, I think my assessment is excessive. Well, we're not about to strip that right away. And so the question then becomes, what's the process by which we should go through that appeal, and how quickly can we get it resolved, and how fairly can we get it resolved? And that's what we tried to do on the assessment committee.
And what do you compare your property to? And so what really went on here is, that's why we call it the dark store, is they were saying, you know, you don't have another piece of property in this town like mine, so we're going to find one from someplace else that has been closed for a long time that doesn't have the value, and that's really what our property is worth.
Yes, because the concept is our assessment should be based on comparables.
Right.
So they're offering closed or dark stores as comparables to open functioning
viable,
profit-making stores.
Right. And some, you know, some of them are in a great location, and these other stores used to be, but then traffic changed and a whole nine yards, so they're not in this prime location, so their value went down. So it's, you know, looking at apples and oranges a lot of times.
The League of Municipalities, of course, says, hey, this is a fairness issue. The number of wins by the retailers or the businesses is shifting property tax burdens to homeowners. Is that true, or is that too simplistic?
No, that's exactly what happens, because the municipality or the school district or county or whatever is going to get their money. It's just who pays. And so if one property owner, his value goes down, he'll pay less taxes. Well, that's got to be made up by somebody else. And so then the other residential property taxpayers have to pick it up. The school gets its money. The city gets its money. Where it becomes tough is when you have to pay back taxes that have been paid.
Right.
And then what happens is the unit of government has to pay it back with interest, and then they have to tax their homeowners more to pay it back, and then from then on they all pay a amount more. So at the end of the day, people say it raises taxes. It doesn't. It just shifts taxes from somebody to somebody else.
Well, and it's the short term versus the long term. Long term, homeowners want a good, viable retail community, and they want a good commercial real estate property tax base. So they're really all in the same boat, just some are sitting on this side of the boat and some are sitting on that side of the boat. And we have to figure out a way to make sure that they sort of get along. It's not one interest against the other, because they are, in fact, in the same boat. The economy thrives as there's more retail establishments in a community. That's going to drive up your property values, even your homeowners' property values, which is a good thing for those homeowners. If, on the other hand, stores close and leave town, that's going to depress the real estate market. So that's why I say they're all sort of in the same boat. They just got to get along.
Well, commercial real estate is changing so rapidly given the emergence of Amazon's and the Amazon. And Shopko just closed dozens of stores in our state and others. But let me ask you this. When the Fiscal Bureau reports that in 2000, commercial properties paid 22% of property taxes and residential paid 67, and in 2017 assessments, commercial properties paid 25 and residential 67, are commercial properties paying their fair share of property taxes? Do you think?
By and large, I think so.
You think so? Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So you had all the study, all these frank discussions.
What did we come up with?
Right. You came up with three bills, Senate Bill 95, Senate Bill 96, Senate Bill 97. Do they amount to a real compromise on the issue of dark stores, or are these tweaks? Because the governor had a dark store change in his budget that we'll talk about in a little bit. So do you want to walk us through, like, what these Senate bills do,
sure.
95, 96,
sure.
97?
The first one gives the assessor the ability to get early in the process some documents that they normally can get later, but too late to do any good.
And this is Senate Bill 95?
Right. Yes.
And so viewers can...
No, this relates to
97.
Yeah.
So viewers can look up this Senate Bill 97.
What it does is it says to the assessor, you can get what they're insuring that building for. You can get the documents that say what is it on their balance sheet. You can get what they tell their shareholders it's worth, so that you can sort of decide what you think is the right amount. It gives you good information earlier in the process.
Gives assessors new tools?
Potentially.
Yeah, it gives. They get the tools. Sometimes they can get that stuff after the book is closed. We're saying let's get it to them up front so they can make the proper appraisal or assessment early in the process.
Plus it takes those things off the table to which that they don't respond. So the property taxpayer, if they don't provide the documents requested to give a good assessment up front, or they haven't put in a good faith effort, I think is the terminology that we used in the bill. If they don't put forth a good faith effort to bring those documents to the table, they can't then later on introduce those documents in a case.
Okay.
So it's getting everybody on the same page up front, which adds to the credibility of the assessments. And I think your property taxpayers who have been filing these claims for excessive assessments would realize that these are legit, to use my teenage daughter's expression, legit assessments. And I think that might curb some of the excessive assessment
claims.
So
it brings more data into the front end of the assessment process as opposed to the court fight.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That is simple mm-hmm. definition?
That's right.
Okay, that's Senate Bill 97. Do you want to talk about 95, summarize 95 or 96 for
what
next?
What this one does...
Which one?
95. Okay, yeah.
In case anybody wants to look it up.
Yeah, look it up. What this one does is says the way the system works now is the municipality hires the assessor and they are the ones who get sued. But there's more than just the municipality that is taxing that piece of property.
Mm-hmm.
It's the schools, it's the technical colleges,
it's
the
counties. Municipality?
Yep,
municipality. Whether it's village, town, or
right. And so
city?
They are holding the bag defending this. And so what this bill does is allow the municipality to say to the other taxing jurisdictions, would you like to set up a board with us, like a TIF board or whatever, to say, okay, let's decide, do we want to pool our money to, first of all, hire an expert appraiser? Because a lot of times these are very specific properties that are very unique in the area.
Very complex.
Right, and so you need an expert in this, not just the guy that does the hoses and things. So they can decide that. Then the other part that it does is saying, okay, do we want to pool our money, if we do get sued, to defend it? Because what we found out is that when these things go to court, the municipality usually wins. In fact, pretty much always wins. Where the problem was is the municipality doesn't have any money, or they don't have faith in their assessor because they weren't the experts. So they settle out of court.
Right.
And they settle for
they're
stuff.
They're advised to settle as opposed to large to, legal bills.
Yeah, to fight it.
Yeah.
But if you can bring in the other units of government mm-hmm. to help you fight it. But what's really interesting is none of those units of government lose any money. They then wind up passing that bill on to the other taxpayers in their districts, in the school district or whatever. So it was interesting because we sort of had to figure out, okay, why would a school district get involved in this thing? Because they're going to be made whole anyway.
It's just a question whether it comes from commercial, manufacturing, and other types of property or residential property.
And I told him, I said, you sort of want to be a player because you're probably going to go to your community and ask for a referendum. And if you had to jack up their taxes on their household for this, they're probably not going to be anxious to pay more for a referendum where a building doesn't have a vote.
So the short definition 95, it allows for resources to be pooled.
Correct.
From among different units of
government. The people that are taxing it.
Yeah. Okay,
which may also inhibit the number of excessive assessment appeals that we see. So right now, the big guy, the national retailer, looks at it and says, well, this little small municipality, they're not going to fight us. Where now, if the municipality's got more resources to fight that excessive assessment appeal, that big guy might say, well, they might be serious about this. Mm. So we think that in the long run, that this is going to reduce the number of excessive assessment appeals.
Thank you. And then the final one, the panel recommended, 96, does what? Who wants to summarize that?
Go ahead, Scott.
Timetables. Oh, so again, the concept here is that so many of these situations are dragged out over such a long period of time that the municipalities already spent the money from that taxing year, and they're into the next taxing year when all of a sudden this either settlement or a court decision is issued that says it was an excessive assessment, and they are forced then into a refund situation. So this bill really does some tweaks to try to shorten that process, to get them into the courts quicker, if you will, so that the final arbiter can have a say sooner.
Does this package of three bills, do you think this resolves the controversy? Because the press release last April 9th from the League of Wisconsin Municipalities calls for the only way to stop tax attorneys from using the same arguments over and over across the state in a tax-shifting roadshow, alluding to language from a Waukesha County judge, is to pass Senate Bill 130.
Well, what's wrong with a roadshow?
Was a judge's term. That's right. Not mine.
But that's my point, is to say we have courts of law to settle disputes for a reason. And people are entitled, property owners are entitled to go to court if they feel they're not being treated fairly, regardless of the property type, regardless of the owner. So this roadshow exists only because we've had this tendency for municipalities to settle and to be forced into refund situations.
Well, and part of the roadshow is it's the same attorneys. Yes. Going from city to city to city,
right.
You know, giving the same arguments over and over and over again.
But my point is,
what does this do?
These three packages stop short of the changes in Senate Bill 130 or in Assembly Bill 146. Are they enough of a compromise on this issue, and do you expect these three bills to pass?
Yes and yes. I think I don't think that bill that they're talking about will pass. There's just two sides that are not there. And so what we did is came up with something that we feel solves the problem that will pass. And sure, I know the municipalities, you know, sort of would like theirs better, but this is okay.
This is feasible?
Yeah, and we think this will pass.
In the capital world of politics, doable?
I wouldn't characterize this as a compromise.
Okay.
This is a third alternative. And sometimes third alternatives are the best alternatives.
The governor in his budget, reading from the summary of the governor's budget, would require that real property be valued by an assessor at its highest and best use. The value in the current use would be the equal and full market value. So he's clearly coming down on the side of SB 130 and AB 146, correct?
Correct.
Yes, but one of the things we discovered in the Tax Assessment Study Committee is that the current law already provides for that.
That's already in the Department of Revenue manuals?
The manuals already says that. And we had that discussion in the Ledge Council meetings where we're like, well, it's already in there. It just has to be applied.
They're just saying, you know, highest and best use, but in reality, this is an aberration. And so, you know, the dark store is really highest and best use. That is the problem.
After the Joint Finance holds public hearings, which end next week on the state budget, they're going to release a list of non-fiscal items, policy items that will be dropped. Do you expect the governor's Dark Star recommendation to come out as a non-fiscal item?
Well, it's a non-fiscal item, you know, so I kind of think it probably will.
Do you support it coming out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, which means it won't, this issue will not be part of the state budget, but it will have to pass separately.
And something has to be passed, yeah.
And your recommendations are these three bills.
Correct.
Senate Bill 95,
yeah.
96, 97. I was curious about a recent decision from Waukesha County. City of Delafield, is that your constituent?
It's not. It's close.
It's close. Well, let's summarize that. Coles argued that the City of Delafield assessment at $9.1 million was too high. They argued for an assessment of, let me get it right, $5.6 million. on the Kohl's store on Gulf Road, which is a difference of 38%. And Judge William Domina said, alluding to the back and forth, "At times during this litigation, the court felt as though it was in the middle of a philosophic tug-of-war between the parties. Kohl's adopted an all-or-nothing approach on their comparable sales valuation by including mostly distressed or transition properties in the analysis." Here's my question. Your committee had its last meeting on January 9th. It was part of this governor's budget. It's probably going to come out. What does this ruling do to pass your three bills? Does it reignite the controversy? Who won here?
Well,
Kohl's lost.
Well, it proves why we did this, because we were told that if it goes to court, the municipality wins. And so if we care about that end of the equation, by passing this, it gives the municipality ability to go to court and let the judges decide, rather than just saying, okay, we don't have enough money to defend ourselves, we're going to be the weak sister, and then we will settle outside a court. So it proves exactly what we were told in the committee.
If you read Judge Domina's ruling, he gets it right. Plain and simple, he gets it right. The experts that testified on both sides, he analyzes both. He goes down by the letter of the law, mm-hmm. by the property assessment
yes.
manual. He looks at Tier 1, Tier 2, Tier 3.
Tier 3.
The process by which they undertook their analyses.
Right.
And he says, no, the municipality has a fair assessment, or not an excessive. He says it doesn't have to be perfect, but it just, the burden of proof has to be on the property tax appealer to say it is clearly excessive.
I want to go a little deeper in this case because I find it fascinating. These properties sold fairly recently, the Kohl's store and an adjoining property, for $15 million. So the city of Delafield assesses the Kohl's store on Gulf Road at $9.1 million. Kohl's then appeals $5.6 million. Are these the type of differences that you're hearing across the state? Because this is a huge amount.
That's what we're hearing.
38%.
Yeah. Sometimes they're 50.
But the lawyers advising the study committee said the munis are going to win because the munis didn't. The city of Madison didn't win in the Walgreen case in 2008.
Yeah, they don't always win. I mean, that's maybe an oversimplification perhaps, but they often win. That if they have good assessments up front and they have the ability to defend themselves, then they're going to win. If they don't have good assessments up front and they don't have the resources to fight, then they're going to settle.
And a judge looks at it. I mean, if they would have said, you know, lower it $1 million, he might have looked at it. But when he said 9 to 5, it's like,
38%
no,
disparity?
I can't do that. That's a little extreme. And that's where this comes in. And normally what would happen is they would, I think the reason they do that is saying, okay, we're going to say it's really low, and then we'll split the middle when we deal. But if you have to go to court, it's like, oh, my goodness,
yep.
now we're so far apart, we're putting ourselves at pretty big
risk. And the property
risk.
Taxpayer intentionally brought in the darkest of dark store examples.
Yes, in fact, the judge said, look, you brought in as examples of comparables, Kohl's, three closed American TV stores, and another property that was sold that became a car lot.
A mm-hmm. homeowner who contests their property tax assessment does the same thing. They find the lowest priced comparables, and those are the ones they bring in.
So in the wake of the Waukesha County, is there more interest than ever in passing Senate Bills 95, 96, 97?
Well, I think the reason that we're really involved in this is our municipalities are saying, you guys got to do something about this.
They've been saying that for years.
Right. And so our leaders said, we need to do something. You guys got to come up with something. And we did. So I think there will be a push in this session to get these bills into law so that we can say, yes, we have done something. We believe we've made the thing better. Now, let's just say over time, this doesn't work. Then we'll be back at the table.
You'll be
but
back.
Right now, I think this is the deal that really...
It's a good step in the right direction.
That we can move forward in.
The bills that the League of Wisconsin Municipalities wants to pass, referring again to Senate Bill 130 and AB 146, you're saying that's not doable. So accept Senate Bill 95, 96, 97, Is the league on board with this, or are they still arguing for the changes in the governor's
budget? Well, they want that, but they will. They're not opposed to this.
They're not opposed.
You know, it's
to
sort
this.
Of like they're going. They're going a full bore for the Bills, but realizing politically, yeah, you know, you better take half a loaf because you're probably not going to get the full loaf.
Right. Well, let me ask who's against these three bills, the three-bill package. And here's the context. When I look up who's registered against the governor's changes, it's Wisconsin Realtors, Americans for Prosperity, Milwaukee Metropolitan Association of Commerce, Walgreens, Walmart, Grocers, WMC, and the Restaurant Association. Mm-hmm. Those are some pretty big guns.
That's why.
Have they registered against these?
I don't believe so.
I don't know.
Do you have a deal with these major groups to hands off?
We've had some of those groups in my office, and they said, we can live with this. You know, they don't want that, but they know that we have to do something. So I believe that.
And in formulating these over a course of 6 months, those groups, as well as the League of Municipalities, came to the table. They testified. Mm-hmm. They provided their input on these things. It's not like they haven't been involved in the process. So again, I'm reluctant to call this a compromise because that's usually somewhere in the middle between two extremes.
Right.
This is a third alternative. And I think all
would you call these
the
new
the day,
tools?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
New tools. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I think my opinion is we got to give this a try. Let's see if these modifications to the process make a dent, and if they move us in the right direction. And if they don't, as Senator said, we'll come back at it again, and we'll try another approach.
Okay. Let me ask the other side of that. Registering in favor of the governor's change, we'll just summarize it that way, City of Milwaukee, League of Municipalities, the Towns Association, National Federation of Independent Businesses. Since I asked you if the antis can buy your new tools bill to accept your language, are the groups that would favor the governor's change also in favor, willing to accept this?
Well, they were against this,
yeah.
The groups you said. They're definitely for this.
Now, when you say they were against this, you summarize that because the viewers don't.
Okay,
don't.
I'm sorry. They were on the opposite side of the list you just read.
I see.
On the bills that you're talking about that are in the governor's budget. So they were dead against those. They understand we have to do something.
I think the municipalities, like I said, they were involved in this creation, if you will, mm-hmm. in these new tools creation. I spoke to the League of Municipalities folks immediately after our last meeting of the Property Tax Assessment Committee, and I said, so what do you guys think of the bills that we... They were like, yeah, generally we think they're good tools. They're steps in the right direction. So I don't see that they would be opposed to these.
Well, we're almost out of time, so let's talk about the next steps for these three bills. Have they been teed up for a hearing? Are they going to move soon? Are they going to move after the budget? What's your strategy?
Well, they all three went through the Ledge Council, which votes on will they introduce these. So these have been introduced by Ledge Council and I think referred to committee. Now it's up to the committee chair to decide when they're going to have a hearing and go through that. It hasn't gone through the committee process yet. The first hurdle was to get it through the Ledge Council that approved the study.
Do you have commitments from Speaker Voss and Senator Julie or Fitzgerald to move these bills?
They both voted for the bills in committee because they're on that committee, so I kind of think they're looking for an answer.
Okay. Well, excuse me.
I've spoken with Speaker Voss about these bills, and I think he's supportive.
Okay. Are you guys declaring victory on the Dark Star controversy?
No, not yet.
I'll tell you, we're just happy we came to an answer in committee because it's like, as I said up front, nobody thought we could come up with anything. So we came up with three pieces of legislation that Scott and I are very proud of.
Mm-hmm.
And the system worked. It worked as it people envisioned Ledge Councils should work. And so now we have to move these things forward. But rather than coming up with nothing and saying, oh, nobody can agree on anything, we came up with an alternative that people can support. And that's what this is all about.
Final question. The past press releases from the League of Wisconsin Municipalities says this is an issue that Wisconsin homeowners now understand as opposed they didn't understand it 4, 5, 6 years ago. Is that true, do you think? Are you hearing that from your constituents in the 97th?
I'm not hearing that.
You're not hearing that?
Yeah, I hear it from the municipalities, but I don't hear it from the homeowners.
Okay.
It's not on their radar. Although there was some referendums that, you know, that was worded quite interestingly. So, of course, it passed.
Should major retailers pay their fair share?
Yeah, it's like, right. Yeah.
Well, or I like the one, should we close the dark store loophole?
Yeah.
Well, of course we should.
Yeah. I don't know what it is, but we should close it because the loopholes are bad.
Are we going to see action on this bill this year, or is this this fall or next year? These bills, excuse me.
I would guess after the budget, probably.
After the budget.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Okay. So, alleged council committee, very obtuse, complex subject, but it worked, right?
Yeah, it did.
It did what it was supposed to. Yeah. It was good. It was hard work. I mean, as people ever sit and watch these hearings, it's like, oh, my God, we just
had
sat
debate.
There. Yeah, and we had two people who knew the subject deeply.
Yes.
And that was great because
they were able to take you to school.
Well, I felt like a judge listening to the two attorneys argue in court.
Back and forth. It's sort of like they were in court because that's what they do. But we were able to really get down to the nitty-gritty and the underbelly of this thing, saying what's really going on out there, because these folks are on the front lines. And for them to help us come to a conclusion is good stuff.
Well, thanks for the update. Co-chairs of a dark store, Legislative Council Committee. I want to thank Senator Luther Olson, a Republican from Ripon, who represents the 14th District, and his co-chair on that committee, Representative Scott Allen, a Republican from Waukesha, represents the 97th District. Thanks for the update. We are going to watch this issue.
Good.
Thank you so much.
You bet.
And you just got a promotion.
What did I call you?
I don't know. What did you call me?